good afternoon, everybody. It's that time again. And we're going to see if we can find something to talk about for an hour or so. Well, thank you for joining us. I'll be back in just a moment. All right. How y'all doing?
Doing well, praise God.
All right.
Me too. Happy to be here.
We actually have levels and everything. Yes, it's so sweet when it works. Huh?
How about that? You wouldn't
see that coming. Yeah. So, what do y'all want to talk about? Anybody?
You got Galatians 6 pulled up. Let's look at Galatians 6.
Yeah, that's a coincidence, isn't it?
Galatians 6? Is that where we're going to, Paulie?
Well, I that's something I'm going to.
Okay, well, praise God. I'm turning to it right now.
You talked a whole lot today in the service about, you know, your testimony about where, you know, you had been. And I just wanted to relate that a little bit to stuff that is going on here in Galatians 6. That's where I went.
Yep. Yeah.
Imagine that. Because when we're sitting out there sowing the seed to people, you know, ones that receive it, we're blessed in that they receive it, right?
Sure.
Amen.
Those who want to challenge it and get their neck stiffened and all, that it depends on where we're at, whether we're trying to do it and make ourselves look good, or we're trying to do it because we want to be obedient and sow the seed, right?
Right.
When you're doing it in and of yourself, somebody who's resistant to it, you feel rejected. You feel and you know what Jesus says, you know, if they reject you, they reject me who sent you. And if they reject me who sent you, they reject the Father who sent me. So somewhere around here, I'm going to relate this to what's going on in Galatians 6. And it's got this going to be, you're the one that's going to relate to Galatians 6. Because you received the word, and the Lord showed you at some point that you're basically trying to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that, but that's definitely the testimony that I've heard you share with others, and all the stuff that I didn't know about at the time, where your heart stopped. And you were sitting there knocking at death's door many times.
Yeah.
But you didn't stop. Because you kept doing it. So you're like, duh. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. But, you know, somebody who was spiritual presented you with the gospel, and your initial reaction was rejection, and you went about chasing all these things. But
can I tag in there?
Sure.
If you you made the statement earlier on about if you're bringing the gospel for the benefit of the hearer, then you come in Christ's stead. And the acceptance or rejection on the hearer's part is little to do with you. And there in chapter 6, verse 3 of Galatians, it says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It's because Christ said that we can do nothing without him. So it takes the heat off. You know, I gave poor Ricky Utzler a fit for a couple of years because I just wouldn't hear it. I was so sure he was wrong. I would venture to say he took some of it personally because he's a man like any man. But ultimately, he stood in the truth of God's word, and I know that a lot of people were praying for me, but by the action of the Spirit, I was able to receive that. That just takes a lot of the heat off. As you go preach saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. So we just bring that gospel in our normal day-to-day. Don't evaluate the ground and just sow the seed. And the result rests with the Lord.
Well, it's hard to be proud and walk out verse 3, isn't it?
Yeah, because we think we're some. Yeah, we think we're some.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting what it says there. It says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing. It's stating when he is nothing. He deceiveth himself. Nothing. But you were kind of hitting Paul on a point earlier. You said, it's like, you know, when we go to in that motive of lifting ourselves, thinking that we're something when we're nothing, and you know, when we get rejected, we what, take it personally. But you know, when it's about the Lord and talking about His goodness, it really just doesn't matter whether they receive or not. What you want initially is you want them the opportunity to hear.
Yeah, you might be filled with sorrow that they're not receiving.
Right. And you know, that's the place to be at.
I think it was in the book of Acts when Peter preached, there's a statement along the lines of those that were ready to be saved. I can't even quite misquote it. Those, if it was their time to receive the Lord, they received. And so I think what you're talking about is we talk to people at varying points in their life. And just because somebody rejects you initially doesn't mean some time might go by and they might come back. Certainly the case with you and me.
Well, the word of the Lord does not return void. And, you know, I guess I'm thinking on the lines of the motive there, you know, and the motive is to give the people the opportunity to see what God's grace is and can accept that. You know, and it's one of those things, it's, you know, Paul went out and, you know, I was just talking this about Ron, Paul went out, but it didn't matter when he was stoned, it didn't matter when he was shipwrecked and all these things, it didn't matter because he wanted to get the gospel out there. He wanted to preach the gospel and to those that needed to hear it. And a lot of people rejected him to the point of stoning, and they wanted to kill him at Rome. And you know, when he went back to Jerusalem, they wanted to kill him. But you know, all these things didn't matter. He wanted to get the gospel out there so they have the opportunity that he had,
right,
of receiving the grace of God.
And Paul's testimony of himself was that he didn't come with enticing words and the wisdom of men. He came in the power of God. And one thing that we've been pretty well hammered on is to preach Christ's gospel, not our gospel. If we preach the Lord's gospel, that frees him to follow that gospel with signs. Like that quote, I think, is from Mark 16. As you go preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. So the obligation for us is to be willing and able to present that gospel. And there's a level of education that has to happen there to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, before Jesus was crucified, he strived to the point of resisting sins till he sweated blood.
We never did that.
We never did that. But the point of where Jesus was at, he made a decision to do the will of the Father, even to the obedience of death. And when they were saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and they crucified him, put him on the cross, I forget the exact words, I'm about to probably screw it up, but he says, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what to do. The offense didn't matter to him. He did it for the joy that was set before him. Despising the shame. He knew this had to be to happen.
Maybe
for them
to be
for
in
away.
Hebrews 12. Because that's where you've been quoting from right and left here.
I'm not. Well, I apologize.
All right, that's fine.
I,
Yeah, and it was interesting in that letter from Gamaliel that Scott Bishop was reading out of the Arco volume. Yeah, in that letter,
I think it was editing there, buddy.
No, I think it was Mary's testimony of her son that he treated people the same. Didn't matter if you're a decent, upstanding guy or an evil guy, because you're saying for Christ, his own death was something that he knew he had to experience on our behalf. But he was willing and did in fact forgive the people that had just murdered him. It didn't matter. He's just, and that's for us. You know, we're not to look at the ground or to sow the seed. Good men, as we would see them, evil men, as we would see them, just mankind. We're all radically flawed.
Yeah, and we, you know, all guilty of having put him up there on the cross.
It was me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what. That's what.
That's why I'm glad y'all are talking today, because my head is still full of mush from the night before. I don't know what's the matter with my head. These things made sense to me when I started thinking about them.
We've wondered about that, and actually, we've been having meetings, Paul.
I thought that was probably what was going on.
Now, Robin was talking this morning on the tail end of our service here about the need to understand that we ourselves are sinners. And, you know, this is another thing that comes up occasionally. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is nothing more and nothing less than the presence of Christ in your life. So that to-the-bone flaw that we carry, that fall from grace, the sin nature, it's there. That's why we don't try to purify the flesh. We walk by faith. We live by faith. That's the only way to please the Lord. It definitely comes out when you're bringing the gospel to an unbeliever or trying to bring some aspect of the truth to somebody that doesn't want to hear it. You go on to Hebrews 12, or are you going to stay in Galatians 6?
Well, and, you know, look at that. You know, that's the love of Christ working in us, is the gospel. I mean, as Jesus, I mean, whether they reject you or receive it, the point was that it's like, okay, you know, the word of the Lord does not return void. And for me, I've had rejected. Like Brad, you were saying, you have rejected, but yet the word of the Lord was not returned void there in the back to where we're standing at right now.
It sure took a while.
It took a while. So, I mean, you know, knowing that, you know, when we go and preach the gospel, it's knowing that they... You realize them better than yourselves.
What?
You realize them better than yourself.
You esteem them better than yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I take it as realize that they are. Not just esteem, but realize it, you know. And it's the point of whether they reject you or whether they grab onto it. You want to just put it out there that they have that opportunity to hear. And it might be look like rejection at first. It might be rejection at first, but later you don't know what fourth fruit that would be. You know.
Yeah, the Lord has called us to peace. I mean, I'm grateful that it's not on me to argue somebody into believing. Otherwise, I mean, I could be a Mormon and go knock on doors and keep a scorecard, but I don't have to do that. And whether somebody receives it or rejects Christ's gospel, it's a peace to me. We're called to peace. We're supposed to be in the fight. We're supposed to have our radar going all the time and be led of the Spirit moment by moment. But it doesn't fall on us to make something happen. It falls on us to live a life of faith and belief and just obey the Word. That's it.
Yeah, and you take a look at Noah. He preached and preached. The rain's coming, and
120 years. Right?
Yeah, and you know what happened was, you know, it was just him and his family, but he gave them opportunity. And I, you know, we look at. I lost my train of thought there.
Derailed.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Where was it?
Noah preached for 120 years, and
right, but. Yeah, that. But, you know, I mean, we got the examples of, you know, what Peter... Here, I'm going to get it back. Where Peter, you take a look at Peter where he says, you know, not just to be obedient to your masters when they're good, but also to the froward.
Right.
Because what's the working? If you're trying to please God and it's all about the Lord, and pleasing Him, then what that shows by you just being in Christ Jesus shows in His way, that froward man, my heart may be broken by just seeing the grace of God in you. Jesus is not here. We are the body. And what I mean by Jesus is here, but He is not physically here. We are His body. We are to be in His stead. And to live that out is an important task for the hearers and for the gospel being preached. You know, yeah. What was it? What?
That kind of brings us back to Galatians in verse 4. What does verse 4 say? You whose Bible is falling apart and as you've edited out pages from what, Genesis?
Well, there's another
one. There goes another one. That one's got red on it.
Man, this is terrible. New Bible needs to be getting purchased here.
He's got text flying all over the room here.
Four, it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It's proving that the work you're doing is the work Jesus sent you to do. Proving that you're obedient and trustworthy. In the previous verse, humble. Every man shall bear his own burden. Every man is going to this has got to do with feeding yourself. You know, you work, you eat, and it's talking about money here in the financial sense. The next verse, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Let him communicate. Does he teach in all good things, or is he communicating all good things? He communicates in all good things. And then we're not talking about talk. We're talking about money.
Yeah. You do want my money, don't you?
No. I don't.
Well, it's a joy to help you out, man.
I want, you know,
that's the life of the body.
I want you to be blessed by being faithful.
Obedient to His word.
I didn't say obedient. I said faithful. But you're
faithful.
Right.
Obedient, faithful, huh?
You know,
go ahead.
You want me to start reading down here, Paul?
No, keep going. Talking. You were saying something.
Oh. I don't know.
Dude, you need to go to bed at night.
One of us.
I did go to bed at night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, absolutely.
The problem was I woke up too early.
No, I went to bed just fine.
Yay. Take a couple of these things.
That I woke up at all. That may be the issue.
Yeah, and that wasn't a given. You know, we've been talking about peace. We've talked about the need to spread the gospel. And here in this, back in Galatians 6, 4, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. So that tells me that if the Lord works in my life and I finally get something right, it's okay to look at it and go, wow, the Lord was active in my life.
He's been good to me. He's been true to His word.
And it's okay to get happy about it. And that was interesting. You brought that out this morning where Christ washed the disciples' feet. Yeah. And then He says, if you know what to do and you do it, then happy are you. I mean, I understand that joy is not the same as happiness, but I could use a little happiness, you know. Solomon said in the Proverbs, a merry heart is health and strength to the bones. Man, I need that. So what I'm hearing here is that I'm free to preach the gospel. I'm free to live the gospel. It's not on me if other people hear it and receive it, as long as I'm just actively and accurately presenting it. It sounds to me like if I lead a life of faith, I'm going to lead a pretty good life. Isn't that what we want?
Yep. One of the things you were sharing was that Thursday night and Brad, you went to come back and you went to go see your father, and what you seen was, your father was was, you know, he wasn't happy with you moving out of the desert and dropping in pay and, you know, doing what he did, which what he did was, you know, got through retirement, got himself set up. You know, he's okay. He's well off as far as money goes. Yeah.
Not a wealthy man, but
right, no. Comfortable. But to him, you know, he took care of himself.
Sure.
And what you're looking at is something far better kingdom than that. You see it as good, and you know you're seeing your dad, and you're going, man, his wife is messed up, and he won't hear to give Jesus 2 cents. I don't want to be there. I'd much rather be out in Texas learning what I need to be learning about the Lord,
yeah,
and being part of the body out there, yeah, and what the Lord would have you do, and not laying up your store and your treasures on the earth, but in heaven.
Yeah, and it's okay to want a good life. It's okay to want happiness and peace and prosperity, not in the sense of I got to have a lot of money, but you know, like, what's that verse that you that your soul may prosper, that you may something about your soul prospering? Well, it's
soul
in the New
prospers
Testament.
When you're obedient and faithful to the word of the Lord.
I want to be happy. The thing that I mean, just in this life. Just in this life, even if there was no life after, I like you guys. It's important to me that I have friends. Look, we're working on Ricky's mobile home, and incidentally, if you're on, Rick, we got a showing this afternoon with one of the ladies that looked at it, and I need some help. And you know what? I get it every time I pick up the phone. I never get turned down.
Who told you we were friends?
I make it. I'm going to have to wait for a more convenient time or something. I heard it. I'm just ignoring it.
Okay. Well, you know, Phil's talking about doing stuff you never had done before, and the Lord just showing up,
yeah,
when you start to do it.
Yeah.
So much of the Christian experience is, I've never done this before. And you know, you can log jam yourself by just not doing anything because you're fearful. Oh, I might fail.
Fear is the food of devils.
Yep. You might have heard that out in Texas.
I might have heard it from Steve this morning, too.
Great. Bad boy. Me? Come on. I should not be looking at the chat room when I'm trying to talk. It's terrible.
Yeah, you don't multitask really.
No, I don't. I hardly am able to talk to you face to face for all the distractions going on. Shiny things in the room that
or in your head, or in my head, I should say.
We have in everything that we do that we don't know how to do or don't know if we're ever going to be successful doing it, because we commit to the Lord and start anyway, He's good and He shows up.
Yeah, me and Lisa say He'll give us what we need when we need it. For some reason, not usually the day before. That's one thing about Him I kind of have a hard time with, but He always shows up on time. I say on time, seldom early. Yeah, but going back to the idea of a good life, you know, I want a good life in the here and now. And I think anybody that said otherwise would not be being honest. And part of that is I want to spare my sons so much of the stuff I went through. And I know from my own experience, if they serve Christ, receive the gospel early, which, you know, JC just got baptized and his understanding of the scriptures is coming up pretty good, but he's not going to be smoking weed, sticking needles in his arm and rolling pickup trucks and all the foolishness that I've been through, you know. I want that.
Brad, one thing you said that opened up to me, you said you want a good life. And the good life, whatever it may look like from the outside and the natural, does not matter. The good life is peace with God.
The good life is hidden in Christ with God.
Yeah. And that's what we're seeking for. That's the good life that we want. not the things of this earth and the nice life we have here on this earth,
Amen.
But peace with God. And not just peace with God, but also being partakers, well, peace with God being partakers of His body and delivering that goodness that God has for other people. Or being partaker of that. And
yeah, why do you want the new truck or the nicer house or more money in the bank? It's not that. It's not those things. It's what, in your perception, all that stuff will do for you. And if for me, it was always security. But what kind of security do you have? I mean, doggone, I'm not going to get into all of it, but just go to Google News and give it a quick read, man. There's no security in this life.
And then, well, you look at what you were living was living in fear.
That's right.
That whole time, what kind of life is that?
And fear has torment.
And fear has torment. But perfect love casts out fear. You go to John, I look at that, and it's Jesus' perfect love that He's shown to us. And we live in that. That's a great life. And for Paul, that was a great life, but he had some tribulations. And it didn't matter. The tribulations didn't matter because what? He had peace with God.
Amen. And he knew that God was going to show up to have him in everything that he had him doing. So, you know, as long as God had him on a mission, he was doing the mission, none of that stuff was going to prevail against him. Man, I want to be there.
Hey, amen.
Yeah, when Scotty Stevens was down last time, he said that he didn't care if he ended up living in a ditch as long as Jesus was in the ditch with him. Man, that's what I want.
Amen. And now I see that is what you want because you're going out to Texas. Naturally, Texas is sandy. It's dirty. It's not easy living. You got to pump the water for it. But there's definitely a peace out there. I tell you, when I was out there, it was awesome. And when I came back, I was kind of like, ugh.
This is different.
Yeah, this is different. And I'm seeing things in a different light. But praise God, there's a work for us to do down here.
Amen.
Well, out there, the trees aren't taller than you, and here they are.
Look, I'm losing it. I'm losing it. I don't know, Paul. I'm not following you here. But praise God.
It was different. The trees are taller and greener.
You know, we're at 6 in Galatians. And I don't know, do you guys want to carry this on down or what do you want?
What you all were really talking about was what it's talking about in verse 4. It's proving your work. Proving your work is in the Lord. Proving that you're trustworthy as an employee of the Lord. Really.
Yeah.
And you're about His business.
Well, it's when it was interesting. We're in Texas, and it's not Lisa the accountant. It's not Brad the whatever he does. It's not the
successful process control.
You know, it's what he said. Some big word. I don't even understand. But praise God.
Too many syllables.
You know, it's not Steve the lawyer. You know, it's not Ricky the web designer, air gun shooter. You know, it's the ministers of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And in getting back to Galatians, all right, he was talking about not in verse 5. Every man shall bear his own burden, not be a burden to someone else, not making somebody else provide his necessities for him, but take care of himself. Paul, in ministering to the Corinthians, didn't take any money from them. He provided for himself in order to purify the message that he didn't have any financial interest in it.
Yeah, they couldn't say, you want my money.
Yeah.
Right.
So, in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. if you receive from the Lord, somebody's delivering the word to you.
Right.
If you're not supporting him, you're mocking. You're mocking God. You're saying that what you're getting is not worth anything to you. And
well,
that's the impression that we get when we're delivering sowing a seed and somebody doesn't receive it. It's like, this is life. You know, it's not worth anything to you. What's the matter?
Well, you know, where you mention that point, it goes, you know, I look at it just not with just financials, but with all kinds of things. I was talking about the body this morning. What are you? I was just talking about we are ministers of Jesus Christ, not Phil the Tire Tech, not, you know, all these things, you know. Let's see how I put this. The point of what you're getting from the Lord and receiving of the Lord, are you giving that back out? Are you glorifying God in it? And, you know, I look at, you know, it's like you receive all this stuff from the Lord, or are you giving it out to the people that need to hear it, that are ordained to hear these things?
Dead Sea.
Are you going to be the Dead Sea or the Sea of Galilee? And when you don't become the Sea of Galilee, like you said, you're mocking God. You're not saying it's worth anything to even share. And the things that we testify, and we have the gospel, that we bring the gospel and to us, and we tell people what Jesus has done for us. And that's because Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected again in power. And this is His power working in my life. And if we're not sharing that, we're not being stewards of the grace of God that we're called to be. And we're mocking Him because we take it for granted.
No, we're not. Another thing that tithing and giving in general does is it reminds us, like every time we get paid, that there is no lack, that we can, in full confidence, give part of our money, time, whatever, and the Lord's going to fill that gap. You don't have to worry about it.
Part of tithing and offerings and these things that, you know, to me, another way is look at that, this is all the Lord's.
Yeah.
You get, it's all the Lord's. You give out 10% to your minister, but it's all the Lord's, and He's providing for you. And He is providing exceedingly abundantly above we can ask or think.
That's right.
He's the one taking care of you. You know, tithing is like, that's nothing. That's 10%. You know?
Really,
I mean, you're giving 10%, He's giving you 90%.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You're receiving so much more than you deserve.
And I give you a good example. Very often in the giving, the Lord meets us there. There was a family broken down on the side of 17 here in town, and I'm pulling out and I see Jeff and Casey over there. They're trying to help this young fellow change out a tire, and he's got a kind of semi-stripped lug nut. I saw him over there. I just pulled in, and we got him going. I had a four-way. We helped him out. Well, while we were there, a fellow that Jeff knew pulled up. And Jeff may be getting a better job than what he had. That happened because Jeff, in response to the gospel, stopped to help a family he didn't know because they clearly needed help. And that's where the Lord met him. So Jeff was serving the Lord, and apparently the Lord took that opportunity to bless him even more than he's been blessed.
Yep.
Oh, I know, and the description of the job sounds sweet compared to what he had.
Oh man, sucking up drywall dust all day.
And you know, and that's just to praise the Lord, and God is good. You know.
Yeah, you think you're gonna
when you're doing stuff like that, you're opening up you're unconstraining His hands. He can actually bless you now because you're
is
opening
that in
Micah? Up. Huh?
Open the. How's it go? Tithes, offerings, and all of a sudden,
Micah, the storehouse of heaven.
I can't even quite misquote it. Can you tell me that? Tell me about that.
That's
open the floodgates. Open the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing.
Yeah, that's
If you tithe, that's good. You need to tithe. But you're supposed to give.
It gives the Lord an opportunity to bless you in ways that you can't even understand. You go back to Ephesians. Exceedingly abundantly. Yeah. Above that which you can ask or think.
Not just open the windows of heaven, but pour out that blessing.
Yeah. Have the blessings overtake you.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together.
You know, whatever a man soweth, that also shall he reap.
I started out
reading that, and then turned away, and so I probably finished without quoting it right. But the what are you sowing? Are you sowing the gospel? Are you sowing the seed? Are you sowing blessings? This is like, you know, I need grace and I need mercy. Do I extend grace? Do I extend mercy? Galilee and the Dead Sea. Which one are you going to be?
Yeah.
It's a principle that once you tap into it, the Lord's able to move.
Amen.
And now you're back to peace.
Right.
Because you can't count on a banker, you can't count on your neighbor, but you can count on the Lord every time.
Well, you know, I just to step in a little bit back of what we're talking about. We're talking about tithing a bit. You know, I look at tithing, and I'm going, that whole thing. It's like, you know, the Lord, where I'm at, the Lord gave me that job. The Lord gave me that job, that place,
over and over again,
and over and over. And you know what else He gives me throughout the day? The wisdom to do it, an opportunity to be delivering the gospel, living the gospel. And you know what drives me is His love. So it's all the Lord.
And you're doing a job that you've never done before.
Right. And it's all the Lord that does it.
Shows up nonetheless. Right?
Right.
Yeah, Gail's got a note in the chat there. It's not our money. 100% is the Lord's.
Yep. I mean,
that's a valid point. It may have been misstated in the conversation. That's right. Everything we have, including ourselves, belongs to the Lord.
Well, it's just going on about what I was saying before. And, you know, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Okay. Now, let me cut in here.
Okay.
For he that soweth the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Right.
Because flesh is cursed and it's going to die.
Amen.
It's ages. It can't reproduce the cells like it's supposed to. They get corrupted. You get old. Your skin gets wrinkly.
Nobody gets out alive.
That's right. So, this mocking God and not communicating with your teachers in the faith, it's sowing to the flesh.
Yep. What are you taking heed to? You know, are you taking heed?
Surprise to you that you're trying to keep all this stuff to yourself that the Lord resists you. You resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It goes back up to the thinking too highly of yourself.
And, you know, and it goes, you know, what are you taking heed to? Are you taking heed to the flesh and the corruption of it and the old man? Are you taking heed to the Spirit?
Proving your own work. Proving your work. You sow the Spirit. And shall from the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the sweet spot. That's the good place.
Amen.
Yeah, the next verse, 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there's a reaping that needs to be done. And was it at the conference? I've heard it preached, well, God doesn't need your money, and if you don't do this, then, you know, He'll get it somewhere else. Well, that's not true. That's not true. There's a path laid out and a way to live that's been explained to us in the Word. And if you're withholding your finances, your time, your prayers for the body, there's no question you're negatively impacting somebody. Maybe somebody's not going to hear the Word.
But you're negatively impacting yourself and your family.
Yeah, but David,
if I heard this right, David was saying that the tears in heaven are a lot of them are because we're going to see what could have been if we would have obeyed more closely. So if we withhold whatever it is we're withholding, you know, we're gonna see that the end result of that someday. Not to say that you won't be saved necessarily.
True.
Another one.
You know, and that were, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The thing is, if we
reap from the Spirit,
if we faint not,
yep.
You know, I look at, you know, I was thinking of John the Baptist a little bit. You know, there are times where we grow faint.
John the Baptist had a doubt.
Well, yeah, you've seen where he sent it, where he sent his disciples to say, go check and see if Jesus is the one. And comes back, and Jesus says, "Show them thy works that you see." The dead being raised, the blind to see, and I'm misquoting all that. But it's in those moments you keep doing what you know to be doing in the Lord and what the Lord has laid out for you. And the part of being in the body, and this is kind of going off subject, but part of being off body is in the body is staying in the bounds of not fainting. Because what do? We come together to keep refocused on the Lord and what He has us to do as part of the body. If we separate ourselves from outside that body, it will be a lot. You will faint a lot easier than if you're in the body. Yeah, you're driving with her.
Yeah, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. And when John the Baptist sent his disciples to see Christ, Christ told the disciples of John to go back and tell John what they had seen, which is they had seen the gospel preached to the poor, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And that was, he quoted Isaiah 35. So John the Baptist had whatever misgivings he had, but in order to kick him back into play, Jesus knew that John knew those scriptures inside and out. And so he reaffirmed to John through something John knew to put him back at ease.
It was funny. Robin and I were talking about this last night, and you know what he says when John's disciples left. He goes, I'm going to mess up.
Something like, among women, there's no greater prophet arisen than John the Baptist.
Amen. That's it. Thank you. But you look at John's. John's ministry was, what, a year or so? And, you know, he was, you know, a year, 2 years, and then he was beheaded. Jesus and John, you know, and...
they both look, ended badly, stretching this way.
Yeah, they weren't really all that kind to the prophets.
No.
No.
So, you want to be a predestinated apostle? Let's talk about that.
All right, so we got off track there a little bit.
Say it ain't so.
As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
You know, what strikes me when you just read that is going back to the, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. As we therefore have opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith.
Since we have opportunity, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
You have opportunity.
So, you know, and I look at it, I mean, that is
reaping about the generosity, both of provoking one another, loving good works, and ministering to needs.
And that's, so, you know, that is sowing to the Spirit there.
Yeah.
To all men. Let all men benefit from that. But make sure that there's no need in the household of faith.
Hey,
that you start within the body of Christ.
That's
we're
right.
supposed to prefer one another in love.
That's right.
You know, it goes back to John. You,
same,
you wouldn't
same principle. How is it? You know, he's got the same principle, the same word, the same testimony as John does 30 years later. It's the word hasn't changed, and that's, you know, that's a whole generation it hadn't changed in. It hasn't changed. It hadn't changed from the Garden of Eden to now.
Never will either.
Never will. That's what what the testimony of the word is.
You know, this kind of refers to, you have another epistle where it says, "With all that possible, live honorably with all men."
Hebrews.
You know, you got.
Yeah,
I think it's 12 again.
Is it?
Maybe I did the wrong scripture. Maybe we should have been in Hebrews 12 again.
No, this is good.
We can do Hebrews 12 next week, and you ought to be an authority on it.
But, you know, we were talking about esteeming others better than yourself.
Yeah. That's a safe place.
It's a place where you can minister the gospel. It's a place where you sow to the Spirit.
Yeah, but it's also an uncomfortable place. You know, Paul said that he was called partly because he had been a murderer of the church. So he was, when he said, "I am less than the least of all saints," that wasn't just a statement he made. That's where he came from. And it's, if you're really and truly esteeming other people better than yourselves, it makes it kind of, it's uncomfortable.
I was the worst choice to do this, Lord.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's why you're here, boy. That's why you're here. Yeah, you know, weak things confound the strong, foolish things confound the wise. Yeah, that's the Lord.
Okay. That's all the scriptures. I was trying to see if we could actually get 6 verses squeezed into an hour.
You did.
And it looks like we did. Galatians is not a long book. It's very good book.
Yeah.
But that's the relating. I wasn't really sure that, you know, I got out in our service this morning. But what I stood up and said was related to you're doing stuff you've never done before, and the Lord shows up just by stepping out to do it. And we have that experience. An experience, you know, I've never done what I'm doing before either. And there's just one after another. As you start doing this stuff, then he starts bringing you people who have done some of that stuff and have done the experience, and they show up and you get your help.
Amen.
You get your help because the Lord's good.
Amen.
He has not called you to do something and not equipped you with stuff you're going to need to do it.
Amen. And that's just as us going out as the body.
As we're called in Galatians to prove our work and our faithfulness and our reliability, and to prove that it's of the Lord, letting Him minister, letting Him show His power to confirm the word and the testimony that you're delivering. He proves Himself faithful to His word every time He shows up and ministers to your need.
Amen.
In doing what He's called you to do.
And it starts with a choice that you make to trust the Lord
and to be happy.
To show up and to be happy.
And to be happy. Washing those dirty old nasty feet.
Amen.
Yep.
Because that's humbling.
And that's what we're to do with one another and in the body, and also to preach the gospel that others may enter in there too. We're not something special. We're not somebody who deserved it. We didn't do anything right. But the Lord was good.
The happier you get, doesn't it?
Yep. Absolutely.
And then you pretty well learn to rely on him. And then you start stop sweating. You just have an expectation. He's going to show up.
Amen.
Yeah, that's that scripture, you know, that he will establish, strengthen, and settle you. It becomes settled in your mind that whatever you're facing, oh man, this is going to come back and bite every one of us. That whatever you're facing, he's already got it well in hand. Just stand back and watch and see the salvation of your God.
Well, just let's trust the Lord in that, Brad.
Amen.
Because that's what we're talking about. He's good, and you establish yourself, and he's good.
That's
and the rest of it, you really don't have any concern about it. You just establish yourself to trust him, and he's good.
That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
And you speak the things of what the Lord's done for you in the gospel, in the power of the gospel.
Lift up your holy hand.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's simple.
It says in Revelation that the testimony of, was it the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ? I mean, what an honor. What an honor. Just to stand up and say, yep, I'm just me, but he's still good if he's willing to deal with me. And that's the thing, you know, people talk about how much of a mess they were before they got saved. Hey, amen to that. But, you know, God is long suffering because we, if we were honest, we definitely have put him through the ringer.
Somebody scraped me up off the floor and formed me into a blob and put me in this chair, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of it.
That's, he's good, man. He's not going to give up on you. He won't give
right.
up.
Said he formed man from the clay. I think I was formed from the muck.
Yeah, that'll work. You're looking for an argument. You got to find a different crowd.
Yeah, I know. This isn't the way to work this crowd. This crowd will just keep going. Oh, me.
Well, that's been good, man. Y'all definitely better encouragement than me
today. Yeah, fortunately,
as Rick said in the chat,
His grace works.
Amen.
It's for then. It's for now. We need it. We need the covering. We're not such good things.
And, you know, our ammunition, you know, we're armed with the good things of God and his testimony in our life. What can prevail against us? And I think of Romans. So anything separates from the love of God? Sword, nor peril, nor nakedness.
Famine.
Nor famine.
Only thing that can separate you from God is you.
Because you can walk away from it. You have free will.
And the quickest thing is cop an attitude and not choose to be happy doing the things the Lord has called you to do. When Jesus, I just sound like a derailment again at work, but that's okay.
Well, I think we've been doing that all day.
When Jesus... James and John asked Jesus, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it going to be me? Is it going to be him? And Jesus said, let he who would be the greatest
be the least among you. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. He said, you'll know who's the greatest because I'll take him and this is him right here. That was what he said. He said, let he would be the greatest be the servant of all.
Servant of all. There you go.
I thought that was a funny in it. That you just tore up my thing.
But sorry. Okay. I apologize.
That's okay. I gotta get a better second. You're supposed to be playing the straight man, and that's okay.
So if you want to move up, and let's say you want to move up in this fellowship.
I don't get it. I'm confused.
yes, you are.
Now you're making me paranoid. I'm kidding. Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding. Oh, Lord. Boy, we can edit this whole last 5 or 6 minutes out.
It's been fun.
Oh, yes, it has. But, you know, that's what we're called
We're called to be humble servants of Jesus Christ and serve one another.
Amen.
And love one another.
Amen.
And if we would say we abide in Him, then we ought to also walk as He walked.
Amen.
And that just, that's a whole lot to get, wrap your mind around and meditate on, that just one verse. Am I looking like that? Are you looking like that?
Well, I think the thing that you hit, Paul, the keynote there, was a servant of all. You start by humbling yourself as a servant and serving unto all in the body. What's your part in the body?
Yep.
And I want to do that with all diligence. A servant. Doesn't matter if you're the asshole.
Jeez.
Well, I think that's a given.
Oh, man. That's a wrap. That sounds like a wrap to me. Definitely have to edit this stuff out. Praise God. It's been another fun and interesting show.